Well, yesterday, White House counterterrorism advisor John Brennan held a press briefing, and he said the administration is 99% sure that they targeted and killed Osama bin Laden.
We have released a tremendous amount of information to date. We are going to continue to look at the information that we have and make sure that we're able to share what we can. At the same time, we don't want to do anything that's going to compromise our ability to be as successful the next time we get one of these guys and take them off the battlefield.
And of course, that means there's no more lingering doubts, right? Nobody has any conspiracies about this.
Ben Roberts, Valley Stream. How do we know that it's not a double since they said he was buried at sea?
There are 56 siblings.
They're half siblings. Half siblings. Okay. Joining us now, Spencer Ackerman. He writes about national security for the Danger Room blog at Wired.com. And Pam Bellick, writer for our partner, The New York Times. And she has an article in this morning's paper about how DNA evidence was collected quickly and definitively, right, Spencer? I mean, does the fact that he was buried at sea so quickly mean that maybe they're trying to cover something up?
Not necessarily. I guess is the most generous way I can put it to be a conspiracy-minded caller. There are a number of different techniques for taking verified biometric information from someone.
Well, let's go into those. The John Brennan says they're 99.9% sure. What does that mean? What kind of evidence could they have taken, which makes them so positive?
Well, Brennan mentioned that they used facial recognition data. That they used DNA data. There was a briefing yesterday, a separate briefing that was talking about the CIA and other members of the intelligence community performing the initial DNA analysis shortly after the raid, not on scene. And there are numbers of other data. There's, you know, there's photographic data that of course they had, and there's fingerprint information as well.
Well, Pam, that's Spencer Ackerman, who writes about national security for the Danger Room blog at Wired.com. Also with us from a partner, The New York Times, Pam Bellick. Pam, one of the things that people are questioning is how quickly they made this identification and then buried him. But also what Spencer is talking about, the DNA evidence. What do we know about the DNA evidence they had that enabled them to identify Osama bin Laden?
Right. Well, we don't actually know all that much about the DNA evidence they had. Maybe they'll tell us some more. What they've said is that they used DNA from several relatives to confirm the identity. So that tells us, first of all, that they didn't have DNA from him, from another situation, and it tells us that they needed several relatives or wanted several relatives to be sure. What they can do with a comparison, if you don't have the actual person's DNA, then you look for a child or a parent because their DNA will share 50% in common with the person that you're trying to identify. And if you don't have that, you go for siblings where the overlap is a little bit more variable, and bin Laden did not have any full siblings, but as you said, he had more than 50 half-siblings, and you can also use half-siblings, but then it becomes a little
bit more. You have to use multiples to get him up to 99.9%, right? You can't just have one sample.
Well, it's not entirely clear. You know, you would probably want, if you had half siblings, you probably would want a number of them. They probably had, in terms of the source, it would have been much easier for them to get half sibling DNA because a lot of the half siblings had disowned bin Laden, you know,
they probably volunteered it. But Spencer, could they have gotten it? I mean, this is a strike team that was in there with a primary motive, which was to capture or kill bin Laden. Who did they have with? Did they also bring forensic experts with them that could make this kind of ID that quickly?
Well, we don't know anything about the composition of the actual team. Administration officials and Pentagon officials are very tight-lipped on this. But there are certain pieces of kit that special forces carry with them, special operations forces carry with them in these cases. Some of them are biometric identifiers that can take facial scans, that can take fingerprint scans, that can take iris scans as well. And then, of course, if they've got the body, and they have some sample through the family members, as Pam mentioned, then you can use that to perform your DNA verification after the extraction.
Isn't there, though, Spencer, and maybe Pam is actually a better person to ask on this, isn't there a sort of a walks like a duck issue here? I mean, all the bin Ladens are a prominent Arab Saudi family who have no need to hide anywhere unless they want to preserve their, you know, status. If there's a bin Laden in a compound that has no internet or phone service and is being guarded in the way that this was being guarded, it's obviously OBL. Pam?
Thanks for throwing that to me. Well, I think that they would never just rely on that for exactly the reasons you guys are having this, you know, this segment. You know, they, as Spencer said, they're going to need to have certainty. In addition, I think, to the methods that he mentioned, we're told they also had eyewitness, you know, identification from at least one of his wives. So I think this issue, even back in 2001 when they were doing the Tora Bora raid, this came up. You know, if we get him, if we get him with an airstrike, how are we going to know? And they want to get as close as they can to knowing.
Well, Spencer, in a country where there's still people who believe the moon landing was faked, we're still going to have conspiracy theorists no matter what, since bin Laden was buried at sea so quickly. But one has to assume, I would think, that the administration made darn sure that they collected the evidence that they needed, that they would be able to prove definitively that they killed Osama bin Laden. Is that possible to do that?
There's been some talk about releasing evidence from, or video rather, and photography from the sea burial, possibly pictures of his face. I'm, you know, waiting to see what they'll actually show, what it'll actually prove. But, you know, the trouble is, like you mentioned, someone who's disinclined to believe that bin Laden is dead isn't going to be satisfied.
But Spencer, Al-Qaeda,
the actual body.
Al-Qaeda believes it, Spencer. We're done.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the trouble is, you know, when, you know, people are going to have to see bin Laden's long-form death certificate.
Yeah, we said yesterday we lost the birthers. Maybe we'll now get the deathers. That is Spencer Ackerman, senior reporter for the Danger Room blog at Wired.com, and Pam Belek, a science writer for our partner, The New York Times. You can see her article about how the DNA evidence was collected in today's paper. Thank you so much.
Pam,
thank you.
I didn't ask you about the death certificate. Aren't you glad about that?
Oh, thanks, John. I appreciate it.
But we're going to ask our listeners, do you think that you want to see White House release photos or videos of Osama bin Laden to prove that he's dead? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
And in 15 minutes after the hour, let's take a look at some other stories we're following this morning. Human rights activists are saying that Syrian authorities have arrested more than 1,000 people in the country's latest security sweep. It's the latest effort by President Bashar Assad's regime to end a six-week-old uprising. In Canada, the ruling Conservative Party has won an overwhelming victory in that country's federal elections. Supporters of Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper celebrated the victory at his campaign headquarters in Calgary.
What a great night! Friends, I have to say it, a strong, stable, national majority Conservative government.
With 40% of the votes, Harper's party won enough seats to form a parliamentary majority for the first time. Honda is expanding a recall of Accords, Civics, Odysseys, and other models to include more than 800,000 additional vehicles. The automaker says driver's side airbags in the vehicles could be defective. TV set ownership is down in the U.S. for the first time in 20 years. Ratings company Nielsen says 96.7% of American households now have TVs, compared with last year's figure of 98.9%.
See, I think that's good news.
Well, they were too scared to ask how many radios there are in people's households. Nielsen cites growing poverty and the rise of the internet as a source for TV shows and movies for the decline.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Takeaway, where you can always reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. More of your voices throughout the morning on the death of Osama bin Laden. What's your view?
This is Sabine Namath calling from Boca Raton. I've been in America 12 years, and I am from Pakistan. Pakistan has suffered a great deal, and finally praying for some peaceful days to come upon that troubled land.
Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. In a few minutes, a look at what the news means for U.S.-Pakistan relations.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.